Blackstone presents Pinyon Scorbion and the Barbershop Detectives by Rick Bleiweiss. This book is read by Christopher Toyne. She shouted, hoping that her words would get through the thick beams and slabs of heavy wooden door. "Who is there? What do you want?" When she received no reply, the banging only intensified. She decided to open the door, armed with the rolling pin and the knowledge that there were others in the house who would come to her aid, should she need it. She opened the door a crack. "Who is there? And why are you disturbing us so?" She shrank back when a tall, scruffy, scowling young man, of perhaps 35 years, suddenly loomed in the open doorway, filling it with his menacing presence. He appeared to Cora to be very agitated, and removed any doubt when he yelled, "Open the damn door! I want to see Mortimer Gromley, now!" When he started to push the door open, Cora put her weight against the other side and shouted back at him, "Stop that this minute, young man. I don't know who you are or why you're here, but you will not enter this house without first telling me why you want to see my husband so badly that you see fit to disturb our lunchtime and create such tumult." The young man glowered at Cora and again tried to push his way in. He stopped when she brandished the rolling pin and commanded, "Let go now." Stepping away from the door, he hissed at her, "It is no matter that concerns you. It is something of great importance solely between me and Mortimer Gromley." Cora was not having it. "Everything that concerns my husband also concerns me. If I allow you to enter, will you stand by this door until I fetch my husband?" After the man nodded twice, Cora opened the door, took him by the arm, and positioned him next to the entry, holding the rolling pin over her shoulder, ready to wield it if need be. "Stay right there while I get..." Before she could complete her words, Mortimer ambled down the stairs from their bedroom. Cora turned to him and said, "Did this hooligan wake you from your noontime nap?" Mortimer kissed her on the cheek as he reached the bottom of the landing. "No, my dear, I was already awake, but I must say I was curious about all the racket." He looked round and spotted the young man in the room. And who is this?" Then his gaze went to Cora. Seeing the weapon she carried at her shoulder, Mortimer asked, "And why are you threatening him with a kitchen implement?" Feeling safer with Mortimer at her side, Cora lowered her arm. "I have no idea who this young ruffian is, and he was rather brash in wanting to see you. In fact, he tried to force his way into our home." Mortimer studied the squirming young man. "Well, I have no idea why you desire so badly to meet me, but I'm here now. So what is it, sir, that you want?" The young man took a step toward Gromley, which brought Cora's rolling pin back up. Then, in an accusatory tone, he said, "Are you the same Mortimer Gromley who makes his living selling fine linens?" Gromley answered, "While I no longer ply my trade or wares, yes, that is who and what I have been for the greater part of my adult life. And now that you know who I am, who, pray tell, are you?" Chapter 2. Police Chief Inspector Pinyon Scorbion opened the door to Brown's barbershop and perused the establishment. Scorbion's wiry, athletic body, accented by his form-fitting starched white shirt and contoured grey slacks, cut an arresting figure, and to the men in the shop he was probably the sharpest-dressed dandy they had seen in a year, possibly ever. One of the men sitting on the chairs nudged the man next to him.
"We surely don't see many peacocks like him so far from London, do we?"
The third man leaned over and murmured, "I wonder who he is. I haven't seen him around here. Quite a fop, isn't he?" Scorbion furthered that image by waving for the shoeshine man to come over to him. Thomas, clad in his customary green shirt, brown and black stained overalls, and leather apron, stood up from one of the chairs and brought his low stool over to Scorbion. In a kindly but commanding tone, Scorbion asked, "What is your name, my good fellow?"
"Thomas, sir. Thomas Worth."
"Well, Mr. Thomas Worth, I am here for a haircut, a shoeshine, and to have my nails buffed. I implore you to take extreme care with these two-tone shoes that I am wearing. I have them specially made, and I have no doubt that they are unlike any other shoes you have ever worked on. I do not want to see the white polish in the black sections, nor any of the black polish in the white parts. Can you do that, Thomas?" Before Thomas could answer, another voice did.
"Of course he can."
Calvin Brown, the overweight, grey-haired owner and chief barber of the shop, reprimanded his long-time friend as he slowly rose from the floor, screwdriver in hand. Scorpion smiled as Calvin walked over to him. When I did not see you, I momentarily wondered if you had sold this establishment and set sail for the Antipodes, Scorpion mused. Calvin cleared his throat and smiled.
No, my friend. I'm here forever. I find this town much to my liking. And now that you're also here, it makes life all that much more enjoyable.
He turned to the two men on the guest chairs, who were clad in white, high-collared barber's shirts.
Well, Barnabas and Eve, I would like to introduce you to our newest client, my good friend, Pinyon Scorpion. He has just come to Axford to be our police chief inspector, and you will find his skills of observation, deduction, and crime-solving to be extraordinary.